Praise the Lord. Praise God. I'd like to take the time to welcome everybody. Welcome this evening to the house of the Lord. Welcome, and welcome all of you joining us right now. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center in Randallstown, Maryland. And it's a pleasure, it is an honor to share the word of the Lord with you. Day in and day out, it is awesome to flow in the Spirit of God, to sense His presence, to share things from the throne. And it's equally awesome, and I'll tell you right now, it's equally awesome to see church members and congregants being used by God in a mighty, mighty way. And I have seen a lot of that lately as men and women of God are being used to minister to other people, and they're seeing results. Like almost immediate results. People exercising their faith to minister to themselves, to their children, to a loved one. That to me is extremely encouraging. So we bless the name of the Lord for that. Amen. I would like to start right away on this evening's Bible study. And as we always do, I like to start with a word of prayer. So let's pray. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we praise you. Exalted be your name, Lord, forever and ever. I thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day that you have created. I thank you, Lord, for your sweet, sweet presence here, Lord, in this place. I thank you, Lord, for the many lives that you've touched, Lord, here in your house and also online. Thank you, Lord, so much for this blessing. And I pray, Lord, as your word goes forth this evening, that the Spirit of God would open up the minds of everyone who's listening right now, who's watching this, Lord, right now. I pray, Lord, that the seed that's planted will grow and will flourish and will produce and will multiply. I pray, Lord, that your name and your name alone will be glorified forever and ever. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Have we brought our Bibles this evening? Yes. Amen. Praise God. Please turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 6. While I adjust my microphone, I hear it rubbing. There we go. Much better. Romans chapter 6, please. And we are going to read just one verse for right now. And that is verse number 4. And if you're there, please say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Is that all of us? That's most of us. Amen once again.
Amen.
Amen. All right. I'm ready for that. And the word of the Lord says, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism unto death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, what does this verse mean to you? Let me narrow it down a little bit. What does walking in newness of life represent to you? There's a song, there's an old-time song that goes, I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away, I am born again. Right? We all know that song? No? What? Whew, that's a classic. You know that song, right, Sister Angela?
No.
What? Man, I feel old right now. Maybe I should ask, who doesn't know that song? Wow. Okay. Whew. Really? Wow. You don't know that song either, Brother Cecil? Thank you. Woo. Somebody bailed me out right now. Wow. Well, anyways, this song comes to mind when I think about this verse. walking in newness of life. Do you believe that when you have given your life to the Lord, given your life to Jesus, and you wholeheartedly meant it, you weren't forced by someone, and someone didn't drag you, held your hand up there and walked you up, led you up there. You did it because you felt that conviction that the Lord touched your heart. This is something that I must do. It's something that I need to do. Like, for example, my particular situation. I was made a brand new person. I was a new man. So much so that I decided to cut off my ponytail. It wasn't immediate. I heard an amen over here. Wait a minute now. But anyways, it wasn't right away, but it was something that was working on me after a short while. And it was just work. I think it was maybe a couple of years, about 2 years or so. It was working on me almost on a daily basis for me to cut my hair off. It was this long. We might have some pictures on a computer, and when it's appropriate, I'll bring it up. But nonetheless. But here, I decided to title this message, Walking Rather Than Talking. Because a lot of people talk a good game, right? That's how they say. They say a lot of sweet things. They all of a sudden, sometimes when you're ministering to someone at the gas station, you approach someone and you start talking to them about Jesus, right? All of a sudden, they flip on you. They start saying all this praise the Lord stuff, and yes, I believe in God, and Jesus loves me, and they start reciting all these things, all these word tracks, all of a sudden, right? But a few minutes ago, or a few seconds ago, they were cussing up a storm. They were acting completely different than, you know, out of the Spirit of God, maybe a different spirit. So to me, newness of life is a whole different walk altogether, completely. And Romans 6 right now, verses 4, restates the reason for us being admitted into the presence of God, finally. Where once upon a time, we were not able to hear God, see God, being led by God. Our adjusted standing before the Lord enable us to walk in the newness of life so we can be conformed to the image of his Son, just as he wants us. Us adjusting our ways, leaving our former ways behind, and now all of a sudden adapting this new life by choice. All of a sudden, we become separated. We start becoming holy, to be separated. We start to look like our Lord. We start to imitate him. Now, something that maybe you might understand a little bit better. Would you say that walking, when you walk, does it require effort? Yes. Walking requires sometimes a whole lot of effort. To my 2-year-old daughter, it's a piece of cake. But as we get older, sometimes it's a little bit harder to get up from the chair, to get up from out of bed, or maybe, you know, we need to stretch a little bit, get the blood flowing, you know. It 100% requires an effort. The disperse of energy has to take place to arrive at your desired destination. It could be anything. It could be your destination from here to the fridge, from here to the mailbox, from here to your car. It doesn't matter. Now, my question right now for you this evening is this. And I want you to listen real close to this message and ponder it. Are any works involved in the salvation process? Maybe the mic might have not picked this up, but the majority of the room is saying yes. Are any works involved in the salvation process? Before we get too far along, and before you start thinking that this is a trick question, I want to show you something in the Bible that speaks somewhat about this that you might have never realized when it comes to works and salvation. May I please have Ephesians chapter 2, verses 10, please. The word of the Lord says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." We were created for good works, which God has already, here is past tense, prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, all right now, did this somewhat clear the picture here? I want to say this evening that these works most assuredly do not earn salvation, because our salvation was a gift from God. It is through grace, precisely. But at the same time, God requires them. The Lord requires. In fact, this verse right here that we just finished reading says that we are being created for the very purpose of doing them. We were created to do certain things that the Lord has already preset since the beginning of time, since beforehand, for us to do. There is a path that we must run, this race that we must run, and we must finish that race. And such works are covered within the general term right now that the Bible uses when it says walk. Walking takes effort. It takes a drive. It takes a will. It takes a want. You cannot walk sitting down. And if you're just sitting down, if you're just loafing around, and if you're just simply not doing anything, you're not moving. You're stagnant. You're not walking. So, all these things that we are supposed to walk in is what the Bible is referring to right now. The effort that we put forth. Works. Now, besides requiring effort, walking implies a destination, doesn't it? Walking has the implication of a goal, right? If I want to go from here to my car, I'm not expecting none of you to pick me up and take me there. As a matter of fact, I don't want you to do that. Even though you might offer it, it's very kind. I'm going to walk from here to there, because I need to get to my car, and eventually I'm going to go home. I have a goal. Once I get into my car, I am going to operate that vehicle to get me to my destination. Right? So, when a person walks, that individual is moving purposefully to accomplish something, regardless whether it is to flip a light switch, or maybe you might be shopping at the grocery store. Maybe you might be going for a walk just to get some exercise. You might be walking to work. You might be walking to school. You know? Are you following me so far? Do we understand here? Am I making the concept clear? Now, in light to the Word of God, God requires that we walk in newness of life. As we read in Romans chapter 6, verses 4, even so, we also should walk in the newness of life. This is what the Lord instructs every single one of us. Amen? It is our God-appointed goal in life, and the very reason He invites us into His presence. The very reason why He invites us to come up and reason with Him and discuss with Him and boldly come before the throne. Our lives cannot consist of aimless drifting. What's going to happen tomorrow? Oh, I'm just going to roll with the punches. Or this is the hand that I've been dealt. I don't exactly wholeheartedly believe in any of that. I am not a victim of the circumstances. I choose not to live my life this way. If potentially you choose to live your life and this is this way, and if this is what you believe, my dear brother, my dear sister, that is completely your prerogative. That's perfectly fine. But nonetheless, my God has placed a purpose in my life. And since the beginning of time, He has ordered certain things to take place. And I am destined to fulfill what the Lord has placed in my life. But in order for that to happen, I need to get up out of my seat and get to getting and get to walking. I'm not just going to flow by the ways, by the winds and the waves of life. Our living cannot consist of aimless drifting. We are headed somewhere, just as Israel was heading somewhere once upon a time, known as the Promised Land. If you think about it, if Israel would have just sat down on top of an egg and waited for the egg to hatch, none of them would have made it to Israel, to Canaan. None of them. They were on a mission. They were walking. They would stop somewhere, get themselves together. They would regroup. Whatever they had to do at that time, then the Lord will continue. Was working on them. The Lord would work on them. And then let's go on. Let's continue. Continue to work on them. And they're walking. And they're always walking. The same thing here for us. Now, I want to show you a verse that's going to highlight something that we must do. And that comes from 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to cover a good chunk right now, verses 13 through 19. 1 Peter 1, 13 through 19 says this. Excuse me. Therefore, right? Everybody there? Yes. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself throughout the time of your sojourning here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Amen. Do we understand that verse? It pretty much summarizes everything that we've been talking so far. You know, Christianity is a way involving far more walking than talking. far more. This faith that we preach, this faith that we talk about, I'm even going to say this faith that we boast on, because I boast on the Lord. I do. It is far more related to a walk than what you just merely say. There are so many people in the church right now, in the church circle, that they talk a good game. They speak very well. And they always say the right things, and they always know the right verses, and they can quote your verse just like that. They're super sharp. But they have no fruits. They have no labor. They have no testimony. You cannot see. Sometimes you're mistaking them from being someone out there in the world. I'm going to say it again. Christianity is a way involving far more walking than mere talking. It requires effort. Christianity is not a cakewalk, by all means. It requires big effort. And most scriptures imply that the walking that happens is 100% voluntary. 100%. It must be this way, because most of the time when we walk, it is because we have made a voluntary decision to move from point A to point B. Right? When we walk somewhere. The same is with our faith. With our faith walk. In God's purpose, it is the only way to make the mind, the nature, and the character of Christ truly ours. To us. It is the only way. Is when we walk. We get up on our feet and we do something. And we head somewhere. And we have a purpose. And we have a meaning. We have a destination. I have somewhere to be. I have somewhere to go. There's something that I must accomplish. Walking in the newness of life. And now, to brief right now our opening verse that comes from Romans chapter 6, verses 4, contains a great deal about life's most important purpose. I want to read my opening verse once again. Brother Dion, can you put once again my first verse on the list, which is Romans 6, 4, that says this: therefore, we were buried with him through baptism unto death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Brothers and sisters, this contains a great deal about life's most important purpose. In a broad sense, it is what life after conversion is all about. It's all about when we give our life to Jesus, from that moment on, I'm a brand new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I'm born again, just as the song suggests. It is awakening to the reality of our spiritual slavery and responsibilities through God's calling, followed by a changed mind towards our Lord and a spiritual death, burial, and resurrection, so we might walk in conformity to our Lord, to our Lord Jesus Christ, in God's kingdom. God allows the sacrifice of his Son to take place in our lives and claim us to him and restore us back to fellowship with him, which is absolutely essential in providing us the strength providing us the motivation, providing us the gift, whatever it takes to complete the walk successfully. Mankind has never enjoyed this. It has not had contact with God since our Lord cut humanity off by cutting Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. And now this walk in newness of life is how going on to perfection is accomplished. You want to be complete? You want to be perfect as the Lord instructed us? You want to be like Jesus? We need to get the walking. We need the walk. If we simply just give our lives to Jesus and we profess and we proclaim and we have received salvation and once saved and once and for all and we do nothing about it, we just go and sit down. Well, I have news for you. I have big news. There are things that the Lord has placed in your life that have commanded, that have set, that it will not be done until you get up and do them. And you walk. And when you are obedient, you become more like Jesus. You start to conform to His image. I want to show you right now Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1, please. And I'm going to close out with this final verse that says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and the faith toward God. God alters our standing with Him legally, not illegally. God alters our standard when we allow and when we want and when we are driven to do that on this walk. He alters our standing graciously, legally, and with generosity and kindness, so we can have fellowship with Him through prayer, so we can have fellowship with Him through Bible study, through studying the Word of God, through fasting, through meditation, and ultimately through your obedience to Christ. I would be distraught of knowing that when I study my Bible, the Lord does not reveal anything to me. I would be quite ticked off if every single time I fast, it's all in vain. Like, what am I just doing? Dieting right now? Am I just missing out on a meal? I would be a little bit upset if every single time I pray, the Lord will not hear me. And that can happen if you're not one with God. Unity with the Lord. Fellowship with Him. Walking and talking with my God. Do you understand? It requires a commitment. It requires a relationship. It requires for me to get up and do something about it. God's spiritual creation requires something called participation. You must participate. Because then you're just left out. You're missing out. If you're not part of things, if you're not in the swing of things, if you're not getting the gears rolling and kicking in, if there's no participation in your part, my, I feel sorry for you. And you know, it cannot be impressed upon us. That's not how it works. We must consciously make the decision to take that walk and to place the effort. It's not going to come upon you. You must do it. You must choose and choose to participate. Amen? Amen. Walking rather than talking. Praise the Lord. Let's conclude with a word of prayer. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we praise you. And I thank you, Lord, for your word this evening. I thank you, Lord, that we can have this relationship with you to where, Lord, we can approach your throne of grace, and just speak to you and hear from you. That you guide us, Lord, that you teach us, that you lead us. Thank you, Lord, so much for the opportunity of this relationship that we can enjoy. And I pray, Lord, that we will all participate and get involved and wanting, Lord, to grow, to be closer to you, to walk, Lord, this life of faith, this walk of faith, this faith walk, as they say, that we might be driven, Lord, to be used by you. Lord, I pray that we will not just simply let things come by and us be a victim of the circumstances. No, Lord, not at all. I pray, Lord, that that thought will be removed and cast out right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for this unity that we have with you. I thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. I thank you, Lord, for the ultimate sacrifice for me. And I pray, Lord, for everyone here this evening and everyone right now watching this online, that they will, Lord, participate, that they would have the hunger and the desire to walk in this newness of life, to walk, Lord, in your ways, to be used by you, Lord, for the honor and glory of your holy name. Thank you, Lord, so much for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. Lord, we love you. And it is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. God bless you.